Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this cool, crisp morning. If you are visiting with us, we want to extend a very special welcome to you. And at this time, I would like for all visitors and members alike to register your attendance on the attendance pads as they are passed down the pew. If you are visiting and would like to find out more about Main Street, please give us your address and phone number so that we can have someone contact you and let you know more about what's going on in the life of Main Street. Our gatherings will resume this Wednesday night, January the 11th. Meals are served from 5:15 to 6:15, and the meal this week will be prepared by the Missions Committee. It will be homemade spaghetti. Program begins at 6:15, and the program this week will be presented by Caroline Dennis. She will be presenting a presentation on the work of the United Methodist Volunteers and Mission Program and the opportunity for Main Street to sponsor a team to the Amazon River in Brazil this summer. So if you are interested in that, please make sure that you are present for the gathering this week. Use the yellow cards in the pew rack to make reservations for the gathering. If you had a standing reservation for the fall, those standing reservations will not carry over to the spring. So if you would like a standing reservation for the spring gathering series, you'll need to fill out a new card and place it in the offering plate when it comes by. Also, our pickup basketball will resume tonight at 7 o'clock. The basketball is open to males and females, 6th grade and older. You don't have to be registered, just show up. They will pick teams tonight and play. So come out for a good time tonight at 7 o'clock. Pictorial Directory Makeup Day will be Tuesday, January 24th from 1:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. So if you have not had your picture made for the church directory, call the church office and make a reservation for that. Also, our Main Streeters will be meeting tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. It's not too late if you have not already made reservations for that. It's not too late if you will call the church office by 9:30 in the morning so that they can get your name in the soup pot for the meal for tomorrow. The program will be a discussion of the Medicare Part D drug plan. So all Main Streeters, please plan to attend that meeting tomorrow. Also, a reminder that not to throw away your used inkjet printer cartridges. The Main Street Youth Group is working with a company that recycles those cartridges and gives them $2 for each of those to be used for their program. So if you have inkjet cartridges, save those and bring them by the church office so that it will help the youth with their programs. Also, Emmy tells me that there are several poinsettias left over from the Christmas holidays that those that sponsored did not pick up. Anyone that would like a poinsettia is free to pick those up, and they are in the church fellowship hall. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. please stand for the call to worship? Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Like sages from afar, come and behold your Christ. Let us fall on our knees in his honor. Let us lift our voices in praise of his name. Please be seated and join in the invocation as printed in your bulletin. O Christ, pass through the doors of heaven into our presence. You were not created by the Most High to recline upon the clouds in the company of angels. You were fashioned to make your home among the creatures of God. God has chosen the place where you shall erect your tent. There we shall meet you. And where you go, we shall go. And where you lodge, we shall lodge. Your people shall be our people, your God, our God.
As we come to our concerns, I call your attention to our printed concern list. Louise Weber, Pauline Wilson, Clint Faulkner, Porter Watley, Jim Everett, Norma Hines, Hubert Starling, Joyce Bartless, the former pastor, Reverend Patty Griffith-Fallaw, Reverend Brad DeLoach, Beth Gray, and Bett McCord Bly. We also would like to add to the list Granger, who is Smith, who is still recovering, and Jack Childress' father, who is in serious condition in the hospital now. We offer sympathy to the family of Colonel Ed Robinson, that's Hack and Gail Robinson's son, whose service we had here this past Thursday. He did pass suddenly last week. Let us lift up our prayers, our thanksgivings, our confessions, our concerns as we together pray to God. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, you make all things new in heaven and on earth. And we come to you still at the dawn of a new year with new desires but old fears, with new dreams but the same old weaknesses. Because you are the God of hope, we know that you create all the possibilities of the future. And because you are a God of grace, we know that you forgive our mistakes of the past. Because you are the God of our faith, we enter these gates with thanksgiving and praise, and we come into your presence with gladness and joy. We are joyful also to serve you and to be a blessing to others in your name. We honor your Son Jesus, who though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor and dwelt among us, who was content to be the subject to his parents, the child of a poor couple's home. Lord, as we celebrate today Epiphany, with the wise men and follow to the heavenly light, your light in the darkness of our world, make us to be faithful and give us light sufficient for each step of our way, and help us to spread the light you have given us and to live our lives in accordance with your great commission to make disciples of those we meet, to share the love of Christ, which attracts all men, all women. Help us as children and mothers and fathers, to know what is enough and to be satisfied with what is enough of food and clothing and shelter and things. Help us to live with what you give us and give away what we have in abundance. Oh God, you made of one blood all nations by a star in the east and revealed to all people the name Emmanuel, your coming to be with us in Jesus. Enable us to know your presence and to proclaim your unsearchable riches, that others may come to the same light which we rejoice and have eternal hope in. And now, Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I'll ask the children to come forward now for the children's message, a special children's message with Dr. Steve Skinner.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. A big crowd. Come on down. This morning, I want to tell you about something new that we're going to start doing at church starting next Sunday that will involve all of you. Okay? In the last month, the month prior to Christmas, we talked a lot about stewardship. And you may remember that a steward is someone that takes care of something that belongs to someone else. We are all stewards. The Bible tells us that God made the world, everything in it, including us. And so we are given responsibility for taking care of ourselves as well as everything else in the world. And we've talked a lot about stewardship and how y'all can be good stewards. Just by being here today, you're being a good steward of your time. You're giving your time back to God. And by being an acolyte or a crucifer, you are serving God and being a good steward. But as we were thinking about stewardship, we realized that perhaps we don't give you a chance to learn about one aspect of stewardship, and that is tithing, or giving back a part of our money or possessions that God has given us. You may not have much money to give back to God. Any of y'all get an allowance yet? Anybody? No allowances in the church. Does anybody get paid for doing chores or anything? A few? Okay. Do any of y'all get money for gifts for Christmas or birthdays or anything like that? Okay. So some of you get money sometimes, somehow. And the Bible tells us that everything we get comes from God and that a portion of that should go back to God. And so most of y'all leave after a children's time, and the offering is taken up after y'all leave. So y'all never get a chance to see the offering giving and never get a chance to participate in that. So we're going to have a special offering starting next Sunday for you, for the children, the youth. So that when y'all come up for children's time, if you have an offering to make, then you can place your offering in an offering plate, which will be up here at the front at children's time. Now, this is different from offerings done in the past. I know y'all collected money for the playground fund in the past, but this is offerings that come from your money, okay? So we're not asking you to get money from the congregation as you're coming down front, but if you have been blessed by God by receiving some money during the past week and you want to return a portion of that to God, then this will be a time for you to give your offering to God. Now, you might ask, how much should I give back? Anybody know how much God suggests we give back? 10%. Now, Mr. Glenn Williams talked about giving money back in 10%. And if I can get the money out of my pocket, can you count out 10 dimes for me out of this? Count out 10 dimes for me. Okay? 10%. So if we have 10 dimes, what's 10%? How many dimes does God want us to give back to Him? Anybody know? What is 1 out of 10? 1 dime. I heard it somewhere over here. So if we have 10 dimes, God asked for 1 back for Him. And that, how many does that leave for us? 9? Okay. 9 more. So He doesn't ask for much. So this is your opportunity starting next Sunday to give a gift back to God if you've been blessed with receiving something the previous week. So if everybody can try to remember that, and we'll be doing this throughout the next year. Okay? Great. Can we bow for a prayer now? And I'll say the prayer and y'all can say amen after the prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your many, many blessings. We thank You for the blessings of each one of these children here. We ask that You bless each of these children as they're growing in their faith. We ask that this new program be for Your glory and bless these children as they're learning to be a good steward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pass the peace. Thinking ahead to the sermon. My stuff is in your way.
The first lesson this morning is Isaiah 60, 1 through 6, reading from the NIV translation, page 845 in your pew Bibles. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and a thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. And the wealth on the seas will be brought to you, and to you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down to the river to pray.
As I went
down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you wanna go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way.
The The second lesson this morning is Ephesians 3, 1 through 12. Again, reading from the NIV translation on page 1318 in your pew Bibles. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became the servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for our Psalter number 795. Give the King your justice, O God.
Give righteousness to the royal son.
May he judge your people with righteousness.
May your poor with justice.
Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the poor of the poor the people. Give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor.
May he live while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more.
May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. I will give to you the light to the nations, my salvation to the end of the earth.
May his foes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. And may the kings of Sheba and Saba bring gifts.
May the kings fall down before him. All nations serve him.
For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper.
He has pity on the weak and the needy.
And saves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence he gains their life. And precious is their blood in his sight.
Long may he live, may gold of Sheba be given to him, may prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day.
May there be abundance of grain in the land. May it wave on the tops of the mountains,
May its fruit be like Lebanon.
And may they blossom forth in the cities like the grass of the field.
May his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May people bless themselves by him. All nations call him blessed.
Please be seated. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours in the fullness thereof. We thank you for giving us enough to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these gifts. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent him to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, before I begin my sermon proper, I need to say that I will not be here for open gym basketball tonight. Not that I'll be missed that much, but I'm taking my daughter to a new college. She's transferring mid-year to Brevard, North Carolina. So I hope that someone here with a key will be here for basketball. And I do hope that we continue that tradition into the new year. She's transferring to what's been called the land of down vest and granola eaters. I don't think that's a bad thing. It's just descriptive. Well, anyway, happy Epiphany. It's Epiphany week. It's Epiphany Sunday. Now, what is Epiphany? Now, we know it has something to do with the wise men. I love the story about a little boy in a children's sermon who said Epiphany was when the wise men brought the gifts to honor the baby Jesus, and the preacher foolishly asked the boy, "Do you remember what they brought?" You don't ever ask children anything in a children's sermon unless you just are ready to let loose and lose control. Well, the boy said confidently, "Yes, I do remember. They brought gold and Frankenstein and Smurfs." And that's what he heard. Now, I know that good church members can slip through years of worship without knowing what Epiphany is about. I know, because I did. The first time that I had the word Epiphany defined was not in church and not in a religion class. It was in college in a cellular biology class. Yes, biologists years ago used to use the word Epiphany to describe the moment that an undifferentiated cell mass reveals what it is to become. The moment that it changes from raw potential into something concrete and definite. We now use the word epiphany to mean sudden realization or insight. You know, the coming together of facts that we have always known into one concrete idea, that moment of, aha, I've had an epiphany. Now, I remember I had an epiphany, a sudden realization. My very first one was when I was about age 12. All my life, all 12 years of my life, I had known for a fact that girls were yucky. And somewhere in my 12th year, I came to the realization, wait a minute, they're not so yucky anymore. When did this happen? It hit me all at once, and it's been neat doing youth work and confirmation classes down through the years. I can notice the very day when the boys buy a comb and start taking baths, and I know that they've had a sudden realization that girls are no longer yucky. But it doesn't stop there. Along those lines, just a few years ago, I had a sudden realization, an epiphany, if you will, that there was a direct relationship between my leaving socks all around the bedroom floor and Caroline's attitude toward me. My epiphanies are few and far between. You pray for her. But the church's meaning of epiphany is that all at once, to these outsider Gentile wise men, God was made known in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who was to be King of the Jews, but much more than that. God was at once revealed through signs in the heavens and through bits of Jewish prophecy to these outsiders and through dreams that God gave these outsiders, these Gentiles. That God was revealed and made manifest beyond Judaism to the Gentile world in the persons of the wise men. And that is what we celebrate today. That is Epiphany, how outsiders, these outside the covenant of Israel, like us, came to realize God in Christ. That is Epiphany. It is also about the sad and violent world we live in and are a part of, which Jesus came to save. In this often skipped over chapter right after the Christmas story, we find the world in all its darkness edging in. You know, we would like a Christmas story to end the same way that cartoon special, The Grinch That Stole Christmas, ends. We would like the Scrooges and the evil and the selfish and the violent to see what God has done in Christ and have their tiny little hearts grow three sizes that day. And have the grimaces melt away and replaced with a smile and feel love for everyone, everywhere. We would like the revelation of God in Christ to be enough and just leave it as a babe in a humble manger. But the world, as it is, edges into the story. It seems that when God acts to offer change and hope, the powerful parts of the world always push back and say, we like things just as they are. Now go away, God, and leave us alone. And I am reminded of God, the idea of leave us alone, I'm reminded of God working through Moses to set Israel free from slavery in Egypt. And God was, through Moses, showing sign after sign to Pharaoh and giving Pharaoh chance after chance to respond that God was doing a new thing. And as I read it, Pharaoh had an opportunity to have an epiphany of his own and say, wait a minute, all these miraculous signs must mean something. Maybe God really does want me to let these people go. But instead, powerful Pharaoh pushed back and he ignored the signs, and eventually Scripture says his heart was hardened. And seemingly he had a chance at one time, but after refusing and pushing back and saying, no, I will not change, I will not respond to God's call, even though it is obvious, after saying, leave me alone, time after time, God did. God did just that. And his heart was hardened, and he had no longer any capacity for an epiphany. God left him alone. I have to wonder, does that sort of thing still happen? Back to the wise men. These Gentile outsider wise men coming to Jesus as King and Messiah, they were filled with hope and they were bringing gifts. And that was not the end of the story, though. That is how the story would end in the Bible if it were written as a 30-minute TV special. They would bring the gifts and that would be it. But it wasn't. And it wasn't written to entertain us. And it was written to tell us once again, that God has acted offering hope and change in the darkness and the worldly powers lift their noses and they smell goodness in the air and they begin to prowl to put it out. God's goodness, when it is made known, is a little bit like what happens when you turn on the lights late at night and you see a few roaches scatter in the kitchen floor. That reminds me, trustees, it's time for another bug spray. You all have seen that somewhere. Maybe at someone else's house. God's goodness causes one of two reactions. One, like the Magi, the wise men, in hope that something good and new has come into the world. They took off bringing the best they had as gifts to affirm this new thing God is doing. Now that's one way to respond to the realization that God is doing a new thing. To run with hope toward God's goodness. To run with hope toward it. Knowing you and the whole world need a change. Now the other way is to run back into the dark. I'm not pointing at the choir for any particular reason. But back into the dark and run with fear that God's goodness might make you change. To run away from hope because all you want to do is stay precisely the same. To run away because you do not want to change. To carry the analogy perhaps too far, you may be a diseased, dirty little bug, but at least you know how to do that. Change is scary. But spiritually honest people know that the world is amiss, and everyone in it is broken in essential ways. People who know that look and pray for some sign that God is acting, and then when they see it, they run hoping for the light, run for the true light of God. They run hoping for love, true love of God, hoping for change because they know in their heart they and the whole world need it. The Magi went looking with hope that God was offering needed change to the world. Now Herod was a totalitarian ruler, and even today, no matter what politics or faith they claim, totalitarian rulers will kill any potential threat to power. They do not want change, though they live in fear and paranoia and darkness. At least it's familiar. Fear and darkness are their comfort zones. And none of us are totalitarian rulers, but too many of us do live in fear and darkness, and too many of us fear change, most of all. Herod has had many parallels in history. Hitler defined the Jews as enemies, and then he sought to exterminate them. Radical Muslims define all those who think differently as enemies and seek to destroy them. Stalin in Russia, scholars argue whether he killed 50 million people or 10 million people, but he killed millions in the name of communism and in the name of his own power. Saddam Hussein poisoned, gassed his own people in the Kurdish north and many others. And here in today's scripture, we find the outrage of Herod ordering the murder of all the babies under 2 years old, the male babies, and the Christmas story taking a dark turn by Mary and Joseph and Jesus becoming refugees into Egypt to avoid Herod's paranoid plan to kill him. Millions have died all through the centuries because tyrants will not have their power threatened, not even by God. Now, does all this death mean that these men were extraordinarily evil? Or does it mean something worse? Do we all have the potential for running into the darkness and refusing change? And the worst question might be, if you and I had total unquestioned power, what would we do to threats? What would we do? Herod is just another example of paranoid leaders scurrying into the unthinkable darkness of murder. Imagine, if you can, imagine your children, little two-year-olds, or grandchildren, all those cute little babies, and imagine Herod stone-faced and angry that the Magi did not return to him. Imagine Herod giving the order dispassionately, "I will not be threatened by any king, whether from another country or whether from God himself. I will not have my will threatened. My will is to stay precisely the same. I'll have no light from God, and I'll follow no stars, but if God seeks to do a new thing in my territory, I'll do what I can to snuff it out." You need to know something. Herod the Great, he seemed pro-God. He seemed pro-religion. Herod added extensively to the temple in Jerusalem. In 1996, archaeologists unearthed a wine jug used by King Herod. The inscription said, "Herod, King of the Jews." Archaeologist Ehud Netzer of Hebrew University said it's the first time they saw the full title of Herod, the same Herod of Matthew, the second chapter. Where did they find it? On the very top of the mountain fortress known as Masada. Yes, Masada was built by the paranoid ruler Herod, a fortified fortress for himself and about 100 others so that he could consolidate power he felt safely on a mountaintop. But when we put a fortress around ourselves and have the desire to stay the same and to stay safe from God's power to change, we have to know that God always gets through. History records that Herod also had his wife, one of his wives, and her two brothers killed because he suspected them of treason. It's no surprise that Herod tried to kill Jesus. You see, under Roman law, Herod did have that title found on that wine jug. Herod had the title King of the Jews. And so he had to take it very personally, as you can imagine, when the wise men said, "Where is he who is to be born King of the Jews?" That was his title. He did not want things to change. But if any of us comes in humility desiring God to change us, God will change us. Our hearts first on the inside, and then our lives and our priorities over time on the outside. We become new people. The Herod types of the world remind me of a character from the play, Threepenny Opera. I'll never forget a line from the play, Threepenny Opera. It has one little scene in which there is a man in a very weakened physical condition sitting in a wheelchair with his family and doctors around him, and you don't get the first part of the conversation, but you hear him screaming up at them, and he's saying, "You don't understand. I like to drink." He didn't want to change, even though it had ruined his health. Do we have a little Herod in us? Do we want to stay the same? And do we scurry off when we begin to see the light, God's holiness in Jesus Christ, when we really see it? Sometimes it forces an epiphany, a moment, a sudden insight where we understand, if my Lord, if that is what I'm supposed to be, the life that you revealed in Jesus Christ, then I would have to give myself up completely to you. And God, if that is what I'm supposed to be, you'll have to remake me from the bottom to the top. Yep, that's it. Or we could run and hide. Or even take the offensive against God and speak disparagingly of Jesus' gospel and put down people of faith and call them simple-minded and stupid. We could do that. Or we could joke about people who try to keep the spirit of the Ten Commandments to love God and love neighbor, the golden rule written in 10 separate lines. Some who resist God and the hope of change fight ever so fiercely. Not with murder, but with insults and barbs and put-downs. From the edges of the dark, they fight anyone who dares run toward the light, as the Magi did, and as Herod never would. No, the Magi were not really kings. We made that part of the tradition up. They were astrologers, and they saw in the skies that something new was coming. And they knew in their hearts that only God can make such huge changes. And they followed this moving star, I think, because the hope of change was what they were after. All at once, this new light gave them hope, and they dropped what they were doing, and they ran after it just as fiercely as Herod sought to put it out. God's epiphany, God making Himself known in Jesus Christ, creates a crisis where we must choose. Now, there's a story about a certain husband who was having a difficult time with his wife from his point of view. And he decided on his own to get a divorce. And he went to a lawyer friend for professional advice, and he shared the entire story with his lawyer friend. He said, "What is the best thing I can do?" And the attorney replied, "Well, the best thing you can do is to move back in with your wife and to apologize to her for all the harm you have done and to work harder than ever before to make your marriage work." And after a long, deadly silence, the man asked, "What's the second best thing I can do?" We are willing to do anything. Anything but change. A United Methodist bishop tells a story about the time he presided over the annual conference gathering in the state of West Virginia. Now, the custom in those days was to have each preacher stand up and report how many conversions he had had in his charge or his churches in the past year. Now, as each preacher stood up to give his report, the bishop was astonished. You know, preachers are not very good at counting. They don't let me count attendance. I might count high. As each preacher gave his report, the bishop was astonished, and finally the good bishop counted all the conversions. He tallied up that all the pastors had reported, and he said, "I would estimate from tallying the record of conversions that y'all have reported that you have converted more people than there are in the entire state of West Virginia." Well, that didn't stop him. One preacher stood up and said, "But brother bishop, down here, you have to convert people more than once." Now maybe the same is true here. I know God's light still shines in the darkness, and I know it still creates a crisis of choice. How do we react? Choose. And if you've wandered off, choose again. Bring the best gift you have to God in Christ, the gift of your whole self, and receive the hope of change. God's offer still stands. God's Messiah can be the king of your heart. What God wants from you is all of you. What God wants from you is all of you. Amen. Receive this blessing. Receive the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the love that we know through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Receive also the power and the guidance of the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that we all may grow from faith to deeper faith and our journey from darkness into light. In Christ's name, amen.